morning, ladies and gentlemen. You're tuned into Update. Thanks for tuning in. You're tuned into the illustrious Anthony Bromfield of another awesome show on technology. Going to be holding back no punches today, getting right into the juicy bits of what you need to know, guys. This is no frills, no fun, hardcore Ant styles. So, Update. Don't forget my website, update.chat. You can email me, chat at update.chat. Find me on LinkedIn if you wish. Facebook /MaxSmart, if that's another avenue. But, yeah, guys, it's going to be an awesome show. Anthony Bromfield, again, what a month, what a year, blooming oath. So please tell your friends, text your buddies, and turn on the radio 104.6 FM Planet Audio. Again, thanks a lot for coming on in, guys, to this another sunny day, really, in Auckland. Gosh, well, I did wish for the dry weather in Auckland, and we Aucklanders got our wish, and the poor farmers are pretty upset about it, but hey. So, yeah, we're going to have a really cool show. What's it going to be about? Let me be bold, and here it is. So, well, okay, guys, so today is a bit of a journey from myself in doing a startup in New Zealand and how blooming hard it's been. So I'm going to go through a few things on that, and there's going to be some learning on the way. So yeah, so let's kick off a little bit of the old tech news anyway. There's not much going on. Hang on. Okay, so guys, so in the news, well, gee, what isn't happening in a way? Apple's really going hardcore into changing over to its own silicon chips. Another successful launch of, of SpaceX, Rocket Lab. They sent a mission successfully just the other day, again for Planet, and this is basically putting the satellites back into space that they had a problem with on their only failed mission a while ago. So they're happy that to put Planet low dose satellites into orbit, and also for Canon. So yeah, so also obviously all the big SpaceX company, all the big tech companies are under the pressure from poor old and all the politicians saying they're biased. A possible argument for Facebook to win, because whatever side they take, they'll be considered biased, I'd say. Quite frankly, yeah, let me rant on that. I think big government needs to stop blaming big tech and seeing if they can do anything as smart as computer science, rather than just eating sausage rolls and being angry. So, you know, all these governments think they're saving the world. Yeah, no, quite frankly. Get out of the way of innovation and stop moaning, governments, about big tech. The way to take on big tech is look after little tech and let them become medium-sized tech. So, yeah, not a fan of government intervention on these big techs, even though that's becoming a cliche popular narrative. Very, very sad for the world. And what we don't realise, if we the quality of services that Facebook, Google give us, and quite frankly, we're just becoming too cool and trendy to start hating on them. It's don't get me started. As far as sort of gadgets and stuff, electric scooters are finally, you know, becoming sort of totally ubiquitous, which is nice. So costs have just come right down on that. We'll be able to all give up our stinky cars and get around. Just on that, yep, I hope to see some new bike lanes infrastructure this year. It'd be nice. But let me get into my main show today, guys, because, there's nothing in the tech world that hasn't been seen a million times. So let's go. Yes. Okay. So again, people, so tune on in, update.chat. If you want to hear me, my last week's shows, or planetaudio.org.nz/update. Now, this is going to be a pretty interesting show, people. Okay, so, and the hour goes pretty quickly for me, quite frankly. I could talk for a couple of centuries on technology, given enough time. Now, but this is really, let me get this right out there to people listening. So please tune on and turn up that volume. Do tell your friends, Planet Audio. You don't need any more Trump on the news. You don't need any more COVID news. You don't need any more how to water your back garden with wet and forget. So just change your radio channel, have a break from the constant diatribe, and tune into an intellectual stimulus for a change, which I believe will become the currency of the future. Intellectual stimulus. Won't that be a commodity? Hard to find these days. All right, so there you go. So tune on in. I'll give you a second to pick up your phone, send your SMS. Don't forget, New Zealand, one of the first countries to really provide SMS, bit of a prototype, actually, by Nokia, by Vodafone. And we killed it, yeah. Okay, so this show, it's about me, my big fat ego. It's about my journey to do a startup, tech startup, and how nearly impossible, sort of the integral, if you sort of try to look at the tan of 90 degrees, it's been that hard to pull off in New Zealand. And, well, quite frankly, I'm very close to giving up. So that's somewhat of my plea is to the audience. So yeah, let's get into this. Let me get right from the beginning what I'm hoping to achieve. So yep, been trying to do a tech startup for 5 years in New Zealand, or 4 years really. And my plea is if there is one out there who's a budding computer person, who's got some experience with some development, give me an email on chat@update.chat, or go to just simply fill in the form at update.chat, because for 4 years now I've been hunting for some good workers, some good hard workers, and quite frankly it's been nothing but bashing my head against a brick wall. So if you, and it's not necessarily just about being an expert, but if you've got the attitude, you've got a lust for sort of computer science at any level, you're really into it, please send me your emails, or go to the website, simply update.chat, and you can just simply fill in the quick contact form there. Anthony Blomfield, you can find me as well on Facebook. But yeah, I need so in 4 years I haven't managed to find one person willing to put in what it takes to succeed in the online space. Not one person. And I have been through, contacted and met 800, realistically, let's say in contact, in other words, sort of like maybe in some sort of phone call or whatever, 400 people. 400 people. And I have sent out messages probably to about 3,000, more than that, about 5,000 potential people. Not one person can I find who has got the gumption to do what it takes to basically do PHP, HTML, and CSS. And for those who go, I know a little bit and I'm too scared, it's not about knowing everything in computer programming language, because it's about attitude. If there's an area of computer code you don't know, that's the magic of our lovely friends Google. But you just have to have the gumption to go, well, I don't quite know how to do a get input mount from a mouse input, and therefore I will Google that, what I need for that code. And that's all it takes. That's all it takes. It sometimes takes maybe a Red Bull or a Diet Coke, but it's attitude. And won't lie, 4 years I have knocked on almost every single door I can think of. And yeah, nothing. So, yes, so this is my first call. If you know someone who, whatever their level, it's like I say, if they've got a heart for computers, maybe they're at uni or even at high school, but they're really, you know, really doing well in their maths and physics, and they want to work for the next Bill Gates in New Zealand, the next potential Steve Jobs. Well, Steve Jobs didn't start with a $2 trillion company, New Zealanders. It's what we thought was obvious to people, but it doesn't seem that way. Steve Jobs started with two friends with his beard, with beards, drinking beer in the back of a garage. So I know a lot of people think a startup is instantly a $2 trillion Apple with a vista views of Silicon Valley and robots delivering their coffee. But no, what actually happens is you make Apple by your sweat. You know, it's your perspiration, people, or rather it was Steve Jobs' perspiration with his team of five in the beginning that has now made a company in America able to provide $2 trillion worth of wealth. In other words, enough to feed pretty much every single person on the planet. And that was because those five people didn't just go, oh, I'm bored, it's too hard, I want to work for a company that's $2 trillion. They said, that's fine, Steve, I'll solder in these microchips for 50 cents a piece. I will go down myself and get my own coffee, and we'll take what it takes to build an Apple. And I won't lie, growing up in New Zealand, I thought my fellow Kiwis were there with me, but I have been disappointed. So the aim of this radio show is to surprise me. If you're out there, and I'll tell you straight, this is going to cause a stink, but I'll tell you straight, getting addicted to computer science is better than any single drug you will take, all right? So if you're wondering how to get off, you know, being bored, getting, you know, on your stupid computer games, being involved with improving computer science, you will never go back to your boring life of shooting people on World of Warcraft or, you know, choking down lots of e-cigarettes, watching some bullshit Netflix, excuse my language. So, yeah, get addicted to computer science. Then once you're addicted, I won't have to ever push you because once you get your head around it and the magic of it and how quick it is to do things, yeah, all your benign activities of wasting time will go away. So there you go. Surprise me, New Zealand. Surprise me that you have what it takes to help build another Apple of New Zealand, another Steve Jobs, another Bill Gates. You know, Elon Musk didn't just simply make SpaceX by, you know, he started with a few people making a cheaper version of Yellow Pages by downloading the public data of every company, sticking it on a website, and then selling that to Zip. So that's what it takes. So please surprise me, New Zealand. I'd love to know that I get some bidding, hardworking, dedicated, maybe young, maybe old, I don't really care, CVs through update.chat today. So that's the nature of this thing. And that's what it is. And the thing is, we don't have an excuse. You young don't have an excuse because it may be real brutal. You all want to change the world. For the first time in history, you have in your computer what millions of people dream they would have, and you're wasting it on computer games. So shame on you, quite frankly. You have what it took, you know, a World War II of Alan Turing working night and day to give us what we have. Stop wasting it on taking photos of your lunch and playing computer games. Let's help make a real computer science company in New Zealand, okay? And when I say real computer science, so I'm a computer scientist. I'll get that out there straight now. And I hope that would mean something, but what it takes is hard, you know. And so please don't brush this opportunity off. If you're interested in computer science, you know, send that through. And what would that mean for New Zealand? Because we don't have really a computer science company in New Zealand, okay? And what we get is maybe we get data scientists, and yeah, they're not doing a good job. Let me be blunt about that. They're not, okay? They don't know what they're doing. They're just following a standard sort of way of grabbing customer data, putting it into a very simplistic model of customer service, and giving a pretty benign, fruitless data to a company like Air New Zealand, for example. So, but that's not what me and my team are trying to do. We're trying to do real computer science for once. The closest, I mean, one of the companies that you can know who did this sort of thing, who did it for nefarious activity, but we wanted to do it for moral activity, was Cambridge Analytica. So Cambridge Analytica certainly had the brains, and what they were doing, so a reverse engineering, effectively psychology, and they, what they were able to do is effectively formulate smart algorithms that would almost change the future of the world. Okay, so this is big for you boff heads, sorry to say. You know, all these people ignore computer science and they go, no, it's not as important as, I don't know, you know, making a new movie, Avatar, whatever. Well, the American election was partly decided because of five or six computer scientists by the way of Cambridge Analytica. So I am really amazed at how computer science is considered, oh, yeah, we'll get to that. Isn't that just to make my Microsoft Windows run? Oh, yeah, not important. Back to the cricket. Okay, well, if you think about how big it is, democracy these days, and the, how much power computer science is having behind that, then you realise, you know, wake up. So, yeah, so I, you know, me and some of my team have the skills to do a Cambridge Analytica, and that's just one aspect. So let me get into what that is. So Cambridge Analytica is a, they reversed engineered, like I say, all psychology data, and they are able to almost understand what it will take to pinpoint the exact points to get people to, you know, vote in a way. Now, first of all, that's not nice. We wouldn't do that. And secondly, it's actually 0.01% of computer science. It's actually kind of the simple part, really, reverse engineering psychology, because it has been done before in games and stuff. But what do we want to do? What do we want to do? All right, so what we're looking at doing is a lot more bigger than that. We're looking at basically doing a system where it's really hard to explain. So effectively the way to do computer science is, well, long story short, yes, you need people that are dedicated. That's a big thing. And and that's the first thing you have to do. Excuse me for a second. I'm just going to have to cough here. Sorry about that, guys. Just needed to quickly grab a water from like 5 meters away. Not allowed them in the studio. Okay, so so that's what I'm trying to do for New Zealand: create an actual computer science company that will really help. So what's been my journey? So it's been, well, no, pretty disappointing. It's been pretty hard, and I always knew that doing a tech startup, effectively the likes of effectively another, you know, a bit of another PayPal, another eBay, on that scale in New Zealand would be hard. Didn't think it'd be as hard. So let's get straight into what I'm doing, what my startup is. And it's a journey, and maybe this will be some lessons for other people. And try not to give too many trade secrets away and upset my lawyers. But effectively, first of all, a lot of people think that these big companies, no disrespect to Facebook's owner and Tim Cook of Apple, they're not as cool as me. What I mean is, you know, these big companies, eventually what happens is innovation slows down just by the nature of the fact that they're too big. So a lot of people go, oh, you know, quite frankly, you couldn't make a better Facebook, for example, because, you know, Zuckerberg, you know, and he's a genius. I'll hear nothing bad about him. But he worked really hard, and he's got some great engineers. But their machine now is across many countries, time zones, languages. They can't pivot that technology. In fact, Facebook's actually been coming dumbed down as a product offering for years now, because it's too hard. And, you know, they have so much built into it. Remember, they used to have games built into it. They used to have its own blog built into it. They used to have notes. Remember, they used to allow third-party applications for Facebook. And now, of course, they realize, look, and I love how they conned so many people by just simply saying Instagram's a new improved product, simply by stripping out almost every feature, lightening the workload of Facebook and letting people just simply upload a photo. And even worse now, some of these places, they don't even keep the photo. They, you know, like Snapchat, their whole sales pitch is they'll delete it for you nicely. Total con, quite frankly, on the next generation by simply dumbing down their product offering. And so these big companies can't innovate as fast as a small group of people. And that's where, you know, I'm disheartened about how much misunderstanding in New Zealand. I'm not going to hate on investors too much, but yeah, the idea that, you know, oh, you couldn't take on a sort of a Facebook, if you will, or, you know, whatever, LinkedIn, for example, or your Microsoft Word, because they're big. Well, the whole point of them being big in some ways is their Achilles heel. They can't pivot, they can't innovate, and they don't need to. They don't have the heart to. And the rebels who have those crazy ideas don't go there. You know, they don't get there. You know, even Steve Jobs, quite frankly, was fired from his own company eventually because it was a big conglomerate and he was too much of a radical. And then look what happened to Apple. Dumbed down, made crappy products year and year. 1997, it was almost broke. And went, oh my God, we do actually need someone who's got some, you know, doesn't wear the suit and make us all look feel corporate-y. Steve, come back and save the sinking ship. Gets in there, throws away the beige box, comes out with the iMac. 10,000 songs in your pocket, bang, you know. And a man of people have vilified this guy, and even people vilify Elon Musk, and, I won't lie. If you're one of those people, change your mind, otherwise, you know, you change your mind, basically, or, you know, poor you. So that's the thing about taking on a big company from little old New Zealand is, well, computer software, I mean, you got to realize that every one of us have a supercomputer in their laptop now. Every one of us. In 1999, the American government had to change the law even for us to be allowed to use these computers. Do you know that? So when processors got to a certain speed around about 1999, 2000, they were classified as too fast to be for the consumers. They were only destined for military use. They were called supercomputers. Well, us boffheads have got those in our iPhones now. So please, no more Candy Crush, no more Warcraft. You have a computer that used to run, you know, the military government, and it's in your laptop. So we put our mind, you know, work together, and with a few lines of code, it's incredible what a computer can do. Few good lines of code, I should say. And we're at the generation now where the hard work's kind of been done. The heavy lifting's been done for us. So even if you're a software coder now, you know, no disrespect, in this day and age, drop your ego. We're, you know, high-level languages like Apple, Swift, Android Studio, a lot of this is almost plug and play. You're grabbing bits of code from someone else who's already done it for you. You don't need to know how the 3D animation plugin worked or the library to check for data, and you know, you're just plugging and playing it. So there's no excuse, quite frankly. These companies have done their heavy thing. So yeah, again, update.chat. If you want to be part of maybe a particular Bill Gates new Microsoft New Zealand, send that through. So yeah, that's how, you know, taking on these big companies is easy in a way, because you've got nothing to fear. You know, if you go, oh, look, let me try this widget, let me try this feature, let me see if this works. Well, you know, you've only got maybe 7 customers in the beginning. So, you know, they'll just call you and go, no, I don't like it. You know, Microsoft can't do that. They can't innovate like that. Okay, and they have so many layers and layers and layers that they, in a way, they're destined to become dumber versions of themselves over time. I mean, no disrespect, but even Apple laptops now are pulling out every single plug they used to come with, making them thinner, getting rid of all the keys, you know, bundling in only 4 apps. It's now the App Store or nothing. Dumb it down, dumb it down, dumb it down, simplify it, simplify it, simplify it. You know, because it's too hard. It becomes too hard for them to keep all those innovations going. So, yes. So, you know, becoming a sort of another Microsoft New Zealand is not hard, but I am burnt out. Well, it's not just burnt out once. I've burnt out categorically. I think I've burnt out 7 times in the last 4 years. And still, I can't get one person that will upload 20 JPEGs for me. Amazing, right? They all, yeah. Anyway, so what's our product? Let me, I can't give our secrets away too much, so let me give the philosophy around it. First of all, we've created another cryptocurrency. And New Zealand has the opportunity to be the cryptocurrency leaders in the world, for God's sake. And what this means, the first thing is me and my small team, cryptocurrency has the ability to be a moral currency. So up until now, realistically, the cryptocurrencies have been used for black market things, activities, nefarious activities. And not the original, if I'm honest, the original was the original sort of philosophy of cryptocurrency is really to get away from the Federal Reserve having the monopoly of all money, which... anyone who gives a damn about that would know that the Federal Reserve prints most of the money. But cryptocurrency is the first time in the world where people can trade amongst themselves in a moral way, choosing what they were willing to support without, you know, money going into the military industrial complexes and stuff without them having a choice. So it's, you know, if you care about life, anyone who really cares about humanity should have at least watched a few videos on the power of cryptocurrency and how, done correctly, it could really help the world. It really could, quite frankly, save us. Yet, I won't lie, all these millennials comply about their world and all this stuff. All of them have been too lazy to upload 10 JPEGs, and I know then they cry about, oh, global warming and this and that. Yep, but they're still playing computer games and uploading Twitter of their lunch. Won't give a damn about actually uploading 3 or 4 JPEGs when asked. So anyway, so you know, if you're going to moan about the world, please, people, get off your you-know-what. All right, so that's the thing with cryptocurrency. It's the ability to change the blooming world. It's the ability to... because what happens in money world, it's a mathematical. I mean, God, you know, this is the importance of learning maths, kids. It's an algorithm. The way that, no disrespect, once you get $1 billion, up until fairly recently, it's a mathematical certainty that effectively your money becomes $2 billion after a certain time. And the way that works is that money is lent on money. It's a feedback loop. It's an infinite loop. It's like saying, if I had one apple, then let's say, it's like saying, if you had 10 apples, I'd give you another 2 apples. But if you had 12 apples, I'd give you another 3 apples. Well, hang on a minute. That means it's an infinite loop. Yes, that's how fractional banking works. That's how the money goes all to the same place. Because once you've got $1 billion, you get $1.5 billion. And then you're not providing any new utility to the world. You're not inventing any new science. You're generally just buying more rubbish sports cars to you know, be depressed up and down the motorway. And young people like me, again, could give us billions of innovations in computer science, and I'm destined to twiddle around, scraping around anything I can get to help me. So, yeah, let's hope this is getting into the right ears today. Forward it to people who, I don't know, maybe they're disillusioned as well, but do have a heart for the world. Cryptocurrency can really liberate us. And the reason for that is, well, those people who, let's say, you know, Goldman Sachs, you've got $1 billion in the account, all right, and the interest on that by way of shares or whatever, it's sort of effectively been pumped because how the Federal Reserve works, anyone should know this, is effectively any bank that has money in it, they're allowed to lend that money times 90% effectively. So it's like, well, this bank ASB's got $1,000, so we'll just get another 1,000 from the reserve, and now we'll lend out 2,000, and now that 2,000 will be put in BNZ, and BNZ can lend out 4,000. So it's quite frankly, it's a Ponzi scheme. Okay, now it's got some merits, it's got some things that are okay to it. I'm not saying go to the gold standards like a whole lot of these hippies think it's going to save the world. No, the solution to it is to do what all capitalists do, and that's to compete with the Federal Reserve, okay, which is by way of our own cryptocurrency. Now, what that means is the mathematics of the Federal Reserve will have to be improved once, like, it become a natural competition. In other words, once a cryptocurrency becomes a threat to them or used by part of the populace, the Federal Reserve will go, maybe you're right. This kind of idea about lending printed money on money to print more printed money to the printed money, maybe we should just tweak that. X plus 1 equals 2. You know, maybe we just don't print 10%, you know? So it's a mathematical thing, you know. It's a mathematical flaw in the banking sector. But we can come up, we can effectively, with a cryptocurrency, we can control that mathematical formula to be more balanced. In other words, you know, if you've got 1,000 of our cryptocurrencies that we wanted to release next year by way of STO, hold on to that, more news on that, you would say, okay, well, I got 1,000 of Anthony's crazy crypto. Under the shared algorithm, the community algorithm, I'm not going to get 1,000% or 1%. I'm going to get a reasonable 3%, right? And the algorithm itself to do inflation, we will be using multidimensional smart algorithms and community democracy. In other words, we will have outliers of where the inflation goes, and we'll have community voting systems, and we'll mark it to other statics in the world, like, you know, population growth or food production or oil production. I mean, that's the clever thing about people with intellect and a group of people in a cryptocurrency. You get 500 people around deciding on the correct mathematical algorithm for inflation, and we could make, no disrespect, but, you know, Ben Bernanke looked like an old, you know, high school teacher. And that's what kind of like, a lot of cryptocurrencies, some are doing, but then a lot of the cryptocurrencies were kind of hijacked into, you know, quite frankly, nefarious activities. And I hate that sort of stuff, you know, buying things you're not allowed to buy. But New Zealand has, because of our kind of ethical thing, we have the opportunity
from 1:35 p.m. and listen to Radio Buddhist Youth Association Chinese broadcast. Also, if you're interested in Buddhism, there are books in both Chinese and English, free. Please write to us at the Buddhist Youth Association, P.O. Box 82147.
Sorry about that. Yeah, so we have, like, the opportunity to do a lot of things here. Now, that just came through on the other thing. Again, we've got the cryptocurrency that can really, you know, really push it, and again, so New Zealand, because of our great ethics and, you know, fairly open-minded innovation, and we have one of the best governments in the world for helping in many ways in innovation. One of the worst lazy populations, but one of the best governments. So I don't know how we square those two things. The government is quite frankly too nice to us in New Zealand. It's as simple as that. We all moan and cry, but we're all too damn lazy to make our own world better. And I'm really sort of sick of us, poor old Jacinda, expecting to solve every one of our lazy problems. Anyway, long story short is we can be the ethical cryptocurrency sort of administrators of the world. And that's because me and my team have come up with a revolutionary way of paying tax through cryptocurrency. And that will then make it palatable to be used as a legal form of currency over time. And I'm not going to tell you the intellectual property on how we do that, but it's not rocket science, but it's pretty unique. It's sort of using layers and, well, it's understanding the blockchain technology and the distributed node system. But, you know, and when you understand that and you care about the world, you sort of put a whole things together. Anyway, we got that done. And also the other part of cryptocurrency that we are trying to push, and I guess I am giving the secrets away a bit, but then again, it's been 4 years, is we're trying to make it accessible to everyday Jack, Jim, and John, and Jill. Every Bob the Builder out there, every plumber, every guy who's kind of buying his Reebok shoes right now, we don't want you paying 50 cents to bloomin' ANZ Paywave and heaps of overheads and infrastructure for the poor little business. We want you to go through a safe, fast New Zealand Anthony Blomfield's crypto exchange. It's not even an exchange. It's really more just a license with the ATM network. That you just swipe your phone over, bang, you bought your Reebok barter bullets, and the GST is instantly goes to the IRD. Bang. It's not rocket science, and the banks can't do this. I have a fairly good friend in UK, smart guy, who has been letting me know how the UK banks have been trying to get into cryptocurrency. They can't do it. The whole point of cryptocurrency is it's decentralized, so it's an impossibility for any one bank to do a cryptocurrency. They will do a digital currency, but it will never be a cryptocurrency. Okay. So anyway, so you know, our coin, this is how it will work if you're keen, and if you're an investor who's sick of buying more moldy homes and renting them and being depressed your whole life, and want to think maybe you could be part of the New Zealand Bill Gates Microsoft explosion, and your great grandchildren will be happy living in a modern world. You know, find me on update.chat. But how our cryptocurrency effectively work principle is, yep, you go down to your Reebok barter bullet shops, you walk in there, you got your phone, even a QV code. In other words, you don't even need an actual electronic device. You whip out your printed QR code and you scan it. And what happens is the shoes are, let's say, 50 New Zealand dollars. Okay, so we have a floated system, so you, let's say you've got your iPhone, you scan it over their little system in the barter bullet shop, and they say, all right, sir, if you're paying by Anthony's awesome, beautiful new cryptocurrency, well done, but it's on today's rate, effectively, it's 40 of Anthony's cryptocurrency. I won't tell you what the name of it is yet, because we're still waiting for the US American office to approve it. And that's a whole nother minefield for my poor little brain that's burning out. But anyway, long story short, that guy who's buying the barter bullets would then say, that's fine, it's 40 of Anthony's core cryptocurrency. Bang, swipe it there. And because it's a smart currency, it might do all sorts of clever things. It might say, would you like to use one of multiple accounts you've got, because you can have, you know, almost an infinite number of accounts with no monthly fees. It might say something like, would you like to also have your warranty built into that? It's another $1 and you get an extra shoe. It might have a loyalty scheme. So he swipes it over and goes, would you like to be told of any new barter bullet features that are coming out? Bang. And that's, I don't know, maybe there's a 50 cents to join the barter bullets club. But it's just one swipe, and maybe it's on the screen, you get sort of four options. It might be, if he's a bit of a green lover, we'd like to give 1 cent to plant more rubber trees, okay? Because we can handle this number crunching, because we're a computer science company, we can work with any of those companies and say, yeah, we'll ping the data as soon as any of our cryptocurrency is used. We'll work with whoever needs to, who wants to partner with us, third party, wants to plant some rubber trees, come in and use our cryptocurrency. Now, Barter Bullet Man has made one payment, bang, he's given 1 cent to the rubber trees, maybe he's joined a club, maybe he's got the warranty on board, or we could have it that he pays for the shoes And it says, oh, would you like to use this $40? Because under our crypto algorithm, it's deduced that it's your wife's anniversary tomorrow. And we recognize, because you've loaded in your preferences, that you want to have $50 aside for her anniversary. So now we flash up a pink logo on your iPhone. Now, this is not controlling you. You'd be in control of all this. But it's innovation in the banking sector, which we haven't seen since the dawn of time. And we have the first time in our history of a human race to innovate in the whole banking sector. And that's what me and my team are offering, a full innovation. And let's be blunt, there's a lot of people doing cryptocurrency. But it's not became accessible to the average Jim, Jack and Joe yet. And the power of the smarts, in other words, the rich, useful features. I mean, most people think of money as dumb, right? You get $5, you go to the bank, it's a piece of paper. That's because, quite frankly, banks are dumb. They're boring. They don't care. I mean, the most imaginative they do is buy a new BMW. When you work with a computer science company who has doing the, your money transactions, we will be putting an infinite potential amount of features into your banking, your money spending, the monetary system. Unlike, you know, a bit like the internet's done for shopping, okay? So now you use Anthony's cryptocurrency and you've got, oh, yep, bang, I'm going to buy my butter bullet shoes. Yeah, I flashed up that I needed that money for my wife's anniversary. Thank you very much. Maybe it pings up at that point. Hey, wife, is it okay if, you know, I make your breakfast and I get my favorite butter bullet shoes, whatever. But there's potential for the innovation, you see. Right, now you've got, you swipe your thing over, you got your barter bullets because you don't want to buy your wife anything for her anniversary. You bought some money into Nokia to plant more rubber trees. Right, and you grab your barter bullets, say thank you very much. Maybe you get like a little sound system on your phone that goes, well done, ding, 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 enjoy your life. And then out you go. The shop doesn't have to pay potentially quarter of what they'd be paying in their fees, banking fees, because cryptocurrency effectively works where it's almost, you know, the profit is almost zero. In other words, it's really just the cost of the actual computer to do the number crunching you're paying for. And with modern computers, you know, the cost of electricity to send a message now would, you know, billionth of a cent. But anyway, but then, you know, it is a bit more complicated, but, you know, so there would be like a few cents on the transaction fee, but not 50 cents, not 60 cents, not 1% of one of these ridiculous things. And so the shop's a lot happier. And then the shop's got much more rich back-end access to see all their sales. Maybe you could volunteer to be part of that or not part of that, anonymous if you wish, but the shop could go, oh, cool, look, this guy is always buying these barter bullets using always Anthony's crypto, and we can see that, you know, every time we offer this particular product sale that's better for us, then you come back to Anthony's great company, Digital Generation, and they say, look, can you put it together some smart data algorithms to work out which color barter bullets are going to sell more? And I go, yeah, of course we can. You know, because we're a billion years ahead of you, sorry, no disrespect, and computer science, and we will run some actual real data science and give you real customer information. So that's what we're trying to do. Now, it's been hard. And like I say, finding a young person or even a developer to do uploading of 20 JPEGs is, oh, it's too hard. Oh, I don't understand it. Oh, JPEG. Oh, hang on a minute. Oh, let me just go down and get another cigarette and another e-cigarette, another coffee. And then let's just talk about, I don't know, what do you think about, like, I don't know, Beyonce's new song? Can I play it for you? No. Upload 20 JPEGs. Oh, this job sucks. I'm off. Yeah. Well done. Well done, human race. So if you're not one of those people, okay, you do give a damn, please, yep, get in, send a message. Find me on update.chat. Now, now I'm not going to be paying, it's not going to be palatial wages, but, you know, it's a bit of a Steve Jobs back of the garage, dirty dishes kind of job. So if you're in for a long run, then, you know, coming out of this in a couple of years, and you know, we'll get the stupid private jet and we'll give the fingers to all the people that were too cool and just still stuck on their, you know, renting out their house on Airbnb thinking they're going to be a millionaire one day, okay, or buying their silly lotto tickets, which of course anyone that knows mathematics, I don't understand how you people keep putting money into lotto tickets when you know mathematically the chances are ridiculously low, when you could instead put that same money into the bus fare to get to our office, put your laptop down and actually put some sweat into making your fortunes. Don't rely on chance. Put your own blood and sweat into making the world a better place. Stop waiting for someone else to do it for you, people. Right. So that's, yeah, that's that one there. Now, the next thing, of course, is, you know, so we got, get your laptop, turn up at our office, update.chat. Now, the product offering that our company is doing is, the cryptocurrency is one aspect of it, and the plan, of course, is to do, I can't give you too many secrets, but effectively cryptocurrency is a useful tool that actually underlines three insanely powerful new platforms that, quite frankly, will make most of your online tools look like 1960s junk. All right, and that's not because Apple and Facebook and LinkedIn and all these companies aren't good people. It's because, well, they started these companies using 90s technology, and most of the time they're putting out fires in these companies. They can't just come up with brand new innovation, all right, even if they wanted to, and they do, and they're awesome and smart. I mean, poor old Elon Musk, he'd have us on the moon if he could, but, you know, most of the time it's filling in tax forms and hiring people and, you know, dealing with the media. But so anyway, that's what we're looking at, two incredible platforms, and those platforms, well, I won't tell you what they are, I'm not allowed to, quite frankly, but let me tell you that it would almost overnight stop global warming, okay, and not by some hippie system, by restructuring the entire way that we work. All right, that's our platform. So while all you, no disrespect, people, I won't put in a slang word there, you know, wanting just to keep on running up and chop, you know, putting chains around yourself and putting yourself to a tree and crying here and crying there and worrying about a, you know, a pot plant in the bottom of your house. Well, go up the ladder in the intellectual echelon, get in touch with me, because if our platform gets out, you can forget all those silly little fights, banging your head against the wall and oil and all this, by simply restructuring the entire economic system of working smartly together. 60% of the world really is wasted labor, people. You just look throughout your day on how much what you actually produce for mankind that's valuable and how much of it is waste. Think about how sad that is. How many products you buy that you didn't need, don't use, don't work? How many hours do you do your even whatever job you're doing that didn't really produce any value? How many meetings and drivings and red tape here? And it's sad. Most of us are, you know, using sort of burning fossil fuels to produce 0.01% of actual use wealth to mankind. And I'm not hating on you for that. It's just simply that we are stuck in sort of, you know, post-industrial revolution, and we're still used to the kind of mechanical systems, big fat bank, buying in cheap gear, selling it off for a small margin, going back to work. We're in the computer science world, we're just like, no disrespect, we're well ahead of you. Sorry to be ego bashing. And so our platform can effectively revolutionize the efficiency of people getting services, skills, products done. All right. So, and it's, we're 6 months away of launching. We're definitely, but I'll be blunt. Probably may not get there unless I get some budding people who want to actually help in the, and it's really not rocket science development. In other words, if you know, well, you pretty much need to know a language. If you know one language, but not even well, even if you've messed with some PHP in your life. I mean, even if you've done a creative course and they taught you some HTML and CSS, bang, I can use you right now, okay? And but it's about attitude. If you should hear my other shows, if I said something like, please clear cut this GIF. If you said no to me, you just don't get another phone call from me. You're just dead to me. I don't take no's. If I say clear cut a GIF, your job is to go, I've never done that before, so let me Google how do I clear cut a GIF. If you can't do that, no disrespect, it's better you don't. Just don't try to be my friend, okay? I get so upset with people who go, I don't know how to do that. Yeah, well, guess what? Someone else knows how to do it, and they've made a YouTube video on it. They spent hours uploading that video. They used in computer science millions of other people, slave hard work, so that you can just push 5 buttons on your computer and you'll know how to do that. So please, people. Right. So I'm hoping this is getting through to some air. Now, if it's not for you, but you know someone who needs to know this message, please forward it on to them, okay? All right, so, planetaudio.org.nz/update. Yep, download this podcast, send it on, okay? So, yeah, so if you know how to do any web design and I mean, I teach super fast, okay? I mean, I basically kick ass for you to learn computer science, you know, like it's just learn this, and it's all about, quite frankly, it's about having a good night's sleep the night before, having a good breakfast, going for a run in the morning, and when you show up at mine, it's like, this is how blockchain works. This is going to be 1 hour less on an entire system of blockchain, and you have 1 hour to learn it, you know. And otherwise, people just waste, you know, months and months learning blockchain. Okay, so our product offering, like I say, I can't tell you exactly what it is because I'm not allowed to, because I have a couple of good bloody loyal friends, poor bastards, who stuck by me, and I'm not allowed to solemn swear to them. So, but it is a damn amazing platform, and it's pretty cool, and we have the opportunity to release it from New Zealand, mostly because we can be trusted with data. You know, we're not going to mess with some mysterious data collection. We can be trusted. We can have transparency on data. If we're taking data from users, we can be transparent about that. We can have an opportunity in New Zealand to do something really cool in the computer science space. All right. So our platforms are cool. I've told you a bit about the crypto. I can't tell you too much about the actual platform. You can consider it as a SaaS, effectively a service, and the mobile app and so forth. Now, the more talent I get, the more far I can go. The good thing about computer science is, I'll give you some example. Our telecommunications in New Zealand, I personally think, a bunch of tin cans. Respect, in a way, bringing over 5G is all good and all good. But, you know, once you join my team, we'll be innovating in telecommunications to the point where you'll be like, oh, my God, for example, TCP/IP, okay? TCP/IP is fucking perfect for what it does. But TCP/IP is terribly inefficient. So in many cases, if you're, you know, America's Cup, for God's sake, and you're on the water, you don't want potentially a certain off-the-shelf protocols between your boat and the mainland. Often, you know, given time, me and my team would go, look, we'll do a proprietary analog data signal to the boats, which needs a billionth of the bandwidth that you were paying for before and half the wattage. And, you know, because, you know, that's a cool thing about computer science. You get right down to the nitty-gritty. You get down to the actual analog EMF waves. And, you know, what they're doing in these big companies like Chorus, they're just grabbing the same technology, building a layer on top, TCP. I mean, they're all good, but layers of contingency in there. And they can't innovate because, you know, they have to tick off whole lists. But, you know, when you join me, if we have to, you know, we can, quite frankly, we can write our own protocols. You know, in New Zealand, we've got amazing media, movie industry. You know, we should be making in our own hardware for rendering, for example. We should be coming out with our own smart algorithms for capturing beautiful scenery. We're relying on Canon to do all the hard work of all this for us. Good on them, but maybe our own people really understand the subtleties of capturing the water in the clouds and can create our own algorithms to make those, you know, to make those rendering more natural for a movie. You know, this is computer science rather than just simply hoping that Canon's done exactly what we want or Nokia's done it for us or Huawei and going, bring it over, put it on a plate, sell it to the Kiwis. It's not innovation, people. I'm sorry to say. Innovation is going, okay, well, what is the underlying science? Is the science for what we want correct? Is it where we want? I mean, Australia even did this when they brought in the 3G? I think 3G and 4G. They said, look, lower down the frequency because half the country's a desert. And the high frequencies of 4G, because the idea of electromagnetic radiation is that the higher the frequency, basically the less distance it goes. And so they went down, made all these poor people, manufacturers, give them what's called an 800 megahertz range. I mean, that wasn't a big deal, but, you know, everything, you can't just simply say, because it's been done before on software, that's how it is, all right? And that's what me and my team are trying to do, real computer science, and the world desperately needs it. Facebook's not going to give you, you know, some brand new product. They're just going to give you, you know, good on them. They're just making money out of their model, so is a lot of these companies. But if you want to see some real innovation, take a chance. Update.chat, please, it's all about your attitude. You do have to know, you know, at least be a minimum HTML. And flick me, you'll find me, Anthony Blomfield, please. And it will be pretty kind of slave labor for a while, but, you know, surely that's better than being paid, you know, for some bad job. And if you're an investor and you like any of this, you know what to do. So, yeah, pretty hardcore, straight in there for you guys today. But, yep. Getting a little bit desperate. So take care. Enjoy your weekend. Update.chat. Find me. Tell your friends. Send us money. Let's do another Bill Gates, Apple, New Zealand. All right. Take care. Anthony. Yeah.
Has been a training day. My power packs could use a rest.